Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on, brother. I'm getting ready to start now. I'm going to show you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on, brother. I'm getting ready to start now. I'm going to show you. Getting ready to start. Hold on just a minute. It's 8 o'clock. Hold on. All right, out there in radio land. It's yours truly, Brother Baba. We Papa right here in Oklahoma City. We're going to do a few rules and me and mine tonight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What the word for Oklahoma City is 34 degrees. I hope that you're staying warm no matter where you may be. Tonight we're going to be doing a program about mass incarceration. We hope that all of you... That was a mistake. This is yours, Baba Wetapa, right here in Oklahoma City. Yours truly. I'm your host with the most, Brother Michael Washington, right here. We're going to do it again tonight for you and yours, and again for me and mine. Good evening, good evening. This is People Power Radio, where you are our host, where you have all the ideas, your thoughts, and whatever is necessary to get you through the groove, the move, the motion, and to the ocean. I'm here tonight. We've got the show talking about the importance of Pan-Africanism. We're talking about Pan-Africanism as it comes from the African and the importance of this main ingredient of Africanism through Pan-Africanism, the importance and need of African-Americans fighting and in a great mode and respect for one another here in this world today. So again, we want to thank y'all tonight. We have a couple of guests that's going to be on a little bit later. And until this time, y'all let me play a little bit of Whitney Houston, and I'll be right back to find out where we need to go from here. This is Whitney Houston. Right, that's my girl Whitney Houston. It's again Baba Wetapa right here in Oklahoma City on People Power Radio, where your host with the most, as well as my co-host, Miyat Yabor, she's here tonight as well, and okay. I bet you I got a name right this time, so I ain't got to worry about a chasing me this time. Now, how you put that one out? So everyone, again, we are here with Miss Yabor. Miss Yabor, tell me what's going on now before we get really rocking and rolling about what our subject is tonight. Tell me what you do today. What's going on out there? And how you feeling?
I say it was pretty nice today. Yeah, we got over that one day. No, we had down here.
Whoa, man, it was terrible, wasn't it? Gosh, man.
Yeah, we ain't totally out the clear. It's coming back probably next week.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I hate to think about that, too. Oh, my God. You mean tell me, so nobody made you upset at your job today as they normally do on my job? You didn't have to get anybody, put anybody in line?
I deal with that all the time. You know, I have to revolutionary side of me.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. Make you want to just crush the head in the skull and on the floor. But, man, you can't go that far because, you know, they got a place for you. You know, I know what you're talking about. I go through that all the time, especially downtown in that courthouse. You know,
just
hearing all that rigmarole and roll from judges and lawyers. Go ahead on.
I'm like, let me draw this line for you. You know, you ain't for the game today, North tomorrow.
Yeah, You better. All right, everybody. We just have a good little bit of time here until a couple of other guests get here. So again, y'all hang on. Y'all know we're gonna be doing it real, real to it, real close and tight, and we're gonna have it tight in Dick's hat band before it's long. So y'all bear with us about another 2 or 3 minutes, and if they're not here, we'll allow them to catch up. Because this is yours truly, Baba Witafa, father of many nations, Michael Washington, right here in Oklahoma City. I am your co-host with the most, and our other co-host, Miss Yabor, who is also along with us. Again, y'all heard us talking. Again, we are definitely proud to be able to present the ideas and substances and thoughts and fundamental principles in the manner in which we hope that you enjoy yourselves, and you can give us some of your feedback as you always do at night. Thank you, Henry from Massachusetts. All right, my brother. Oh, Jennifer from Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, all right, y'all. Good, good, good. Oh, man, y'all, this is a lovely thing. I mean, I tell you what, we enjoy just having y'all here. I mean, because y'all are the ones acting to inspire us. You know, y'all give us some ideas that, you know, ashe. You know, ashe, that simply means that this is a wonderful idea. You know, ashe, this is the truth. You know, ashe, you know, 100, keeping it real, keeping it trill, as they say. So this is very good, y'all. All praise you to God. Go ahead, what's happening? What you thinking about tonight?
I think it's a really good topic, you know, because I believe that some people are they're not fully aware of Pan-Africanism and all the things that, you know, that impact community directly. I would say that Pan-Africanism is not just, you know, just a flag. It's not just representing our community. It's, you know, a lifestyle choice. It's a dedication to your culture altogether. And that's what we need to, you know, highlight the importance of, and, you know, really just giving people that information about, you know, what is Pan-Africanism and you know, believe it's Pan-Africanist. Because ultimately it's, you know, it's, for me, ultimately it was a lifestyle change. I couldn't change the outside of me and not the inside of me. So it really came from within. And I didn't even, I was already about 50 to 75% Pan-African before joining the
revolution.
I had no idea that that was, you know, that that was something that I could identify as. And then, you know, as I got into study about Pan-Africanism,
I just,
like, this is home. Like, you know, this is home.
Hey, Ashe, yes. Yeah, hey, I'm feeling you. Hey, Beverly from New Orleans, she says you're right on time. She loves hearing you when you come on. I just want to tell you that. I got to give you those feedback when people tell me to do it. Again, we want to recognize them and let them know that we do see and hear their words as they come across. So, again, thank y'all so much. I got them on another line over here on my phone, so. Thank y'all very much for tuning in with us. All right, y'all, we've given our guests there, other guests who will soon be here, so we're just going to go ahead and let them catch up when they get here. Again, y'all, tonight's show is about Pan-Africanism. Now, when you think about Pan-Africanism, I know a lot of you don't have the concept of what Pan-Africanism is, okay? But truly and really, the African in the diaspora, first of all, it is our need, it is our want, it is our desire to fall in line with our African brothers and sisters in the motherland, our Kibo land, the land of the dark-skinned people, which is its original, traditional, ancient name, our Kibo land, land of the dark-skinned people. That's what that means, okay, everybody? So let me get that germinated real moisturized inside your brain. Soak it up with a sponge, and I want all of y'all to start using that word, our Kibo land. When you get time, look that word up. And when you get that word up, it's going to give you the etymology, it's going to give you the history, it's going to give you the importance of it and where it came from. And, again, it'll give you that refinement, that taste of a touch of unity in the African culture. Okay, y'all, as we know, with African culture and Pan-Africanism comes the red, white, and green flag. Now, a lot of people don't know exactly what that flag means. It's unlike the American flag or the flag of Islam or the flag of Hungary or something like that. Our flag, in turn, recognizes the actual presence of the African people throughout that flag. Number one, the bloodshed, which is the red, okay? The bloodshed in which all these European powers came over, destroyed, pillaged, and sold its native sons and daughters to the Western Hemisphere and to what we call now Haiti, Russia, China, Grenada, America, United States, and so forth and so on. So, and a lot of us died through the middle passage of what we call the Atlantic slave trade. Okay, so the red stands for the blood of the people who were kidnapped, and the middle part of the flag is the black part, which means that the substance of black folks who lost their blood coming through the middle passages of the Atlantic slave trade and other slave trades, the Caribbeans and Haiti and Jamaica and places of this nature, we populated all these things. And let me understand also, too, y'all, that before we were kidnapped and brought to these lands, we were already had visited by our own ancestors. They already visited, culturalized, and established great farming and lands and so forth. So believe that now. Yeah, we're talking about the passage in the forest where they kidnapped those of us who didn't come over as free African people. So our whole mindset is, number one, that we're talking about the slave part of us. Not all of us came to the Americas as slaves. Not all of us came to Haiti or Jamaica as slaves. We're talking about, again, when the Europeans became involved and saw the need and importance of value of black lives becoming now important enough after they visited the African homeland and saw how we were so well-dressed, so well-mannered and well-culturized and mummifying our remains, had our democratic societies, you know, wearing gold in our hair and animals and things wearing gold or whatever. I mean, this was the land of plenty. This was the land of milk and honey that you hear about all the time in the Bible. So, again, the red stands for the blood. The black in the middle stands for the African people. And the green stands for the land in which all this pillage, hatred, and death all originated from, which is the land of the dark-skinned people, our Kibo land. Okay, y'all, so, and again, the Pan-Africanist, my flag, I don't know about anybody, I said mine, Michael Baba Witafa, Washington, his flag is red, black, and green, okay? I'm not telling anybody else to do it. This is association with my homeland, my actual identity, which is Pan-Africanism. Now, having said that, and then I'm going to give y'all a floor, if y'all hold on just a minute, Pan-Africanism, okay? Let me tell y'all something. This is a worldwide movement, okay? We're not just in Tulsa, China, the Caribbean, Jamaica. No. We are well-renowned perspective of African people reuniting with our brothers and sisters in the diaspora. What do I mean by diaspora? We're talking about our brothers and sisters who left the native land of Africa, their birthplace, and now into foreign lands that they still yet can call their own because our ancestors built it up to what they are today. I'm talking about in every city, every country, every town. Yes, our black folks built up that culture and society. And right today, even in Spain, in Hungary, in those places like that, you still see a taste of blackness in their culture. So again, y'all, it's all about It's all about a solidarity and strength in our bond between the indigenous people of the African race and the diaspora, ourselves, our groups here in outside of African region. So I want everybody to understand this here. I'm sure I hope all of you understood. Now, once again, I listen carefully. I am denouncing 100% the American flag, the red, white, and blue. Now, notice how that contradicts the Pan-African. Notice how that contradicts the African, our Kibo land flag. Watch it now. A flag makes and brings you into identification with your culture and who you believe in. People listen to me carefully. I'm not going to bite my tongue. Y'all know I told you I'm going to start getting a little bit harder and harder as we go, because now I see that many of you have been on the show long enough, you know we're going to give it to you raw and uncut. And then we're going to ask Sister Mia to get in here in just a second. But y'all know I'm going to give it to you uncut, okay? When you say, I pledge allegiance to blah, 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 of the United States of America, you're already saying, I pledge allegiance to the bloodshed, to the tyranny, oppression, tears, death of my people. Because that's what that racist white supremacist flag stands for. And that means that you will still sleep when you stand up and pledge allegiance to a flag of the United Snakes of America. Now listen to that. Now then, because I'm no longer embrace that flag, I have my own Pan-African flag now, because it represents actually my identity, my soul, my purpose, and my realness, my culture, my blackness, my tradition.
Okay.
It actually ties me into what actually happened to me, symbolically speaking. Again, my family lost their bloodshed, my family were black, and my family owned the land, which is green, from which the flag stands, everybody. So therefore, my flag contradicts the American flag, and you're going to have a conflict of interest and two groups now fighting against one another. Why? Because one white supremacist group don't want me to wake up and spread the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to the people who needs to know now. Because when you get more people on your side and start drawing them into a real profound knowledge of their self, their God and devil in their world, now you're saying, hey, we no longer rely upon white supremacist eugenists. We're now relying upon the God that lives within us, the God that breathed the breath of life into us. That's why I put that post out today. Okay, I'm getting ready to call in right now. That's why I put that post out today, y'all, to let you know that your God is the air you breathe, man. I tell you, every one of y'all today, if you think I'm lying to you, I want all of you to put your hand over your nose and over your mouth at the same time, and if you're here after 5 minutes, I'm going to bow down and praise you. You're not going to do it because you need that air then. Hello, Michael. We're not talking about some spook down the street or in the sky, okay? We're talking about your God. Again, y'all, told you I'm going to start getting a little bit harder to open your mind and expand it, because this is what God gave me this knowledge to do. Okay, one last word, and then we're going to assist me. I say. We are based upon a common understanding and feel, my brothers and sisters, that we must stand tall. Now, let me just tell y'all something, man. It would make me no better than the white supremacist if I were a racist. Let me tell you, I'm not a racist. But I'm going to be pro about myself just like the next person is. Now, watch this here. My necessarily being pro about myself is necessary because I've been told I was half human, subhuman. Yeah. Been told that given somebody's last name, you know, told what to eat, told how I can go to deny education while I didn't have food or whatever. So I'm being proud of knowing that I can be somebody now. Now, had you not taken this from me, I wouldn't have to continue to say and pronounce that I'm pro-black about myself, that I love my family, my culture, my community. May I take it from that? What's on your mind?
Now, you know, we're living in a time where, you know, most of our people are waking up and seeing, you know, what's going on out here in the community. That's what ultimately had me to think, you know, to actually look into Pan-Africanism, you know, even before anyone, you know, kind of asked me, like, do you know about Pan-Africanism? You know, and I was like, yeah, a little bit. I did my research. And for me, it was the fact that I felt a power behind knowing, you know, other revolutionaries and other activists that chose chose to be a Pan-Africanist over calling themselves Americans.
That's not a damn American.
Come on. The trap that they set for us. You know, we're all united. Unity is this. Okay,
yes.
But are we have something to empower our side of it? Are you teaching us about us? Equality, then why is our history being hidden from us? Why are we being oppressed? Why are we being treated as less than? And then not only that, you guys are saying it bold face out there. You know what I mean? That you truly don't care about us as people.
No, you don't.
I look at someone that comes from another country and they're like, you know, I'm not American. I am, you know, from Europe. I'm from Japan. I'm from this, this, and this. Pan-Africanism is something that we can identify with here, being in the state and abroad, you know what I mean, that connects us just like another individual from another country. Their flag represents them. The Pan-African flag represents us as people and us states across the world that have been in, you know, in this whole dynamic of our history is just being hidden, we're nothing, all these things, spoken and unspoken, you know, and all the pressure that's on us, really getting back to the Pan-African roots that were, you know, that was laid down from our ancestors and others that, you know, fought for that flag and fought underneath that flag. The same time is the resource for us to take a hold of, because it does more good for the whole Black nation in general, and creates an umbrella and a blanket for us, and you know, and our growth in the community.
Amen. Oh, now see, very, very well put together, Mia. Very well said. And to piggyback on what you said without diverting from it, you have to realize that here in the Western Hemisphere, listen carefully. When you talk about the Western philosophical ideas, culture, customs, education, philosophy, you have to realize that we didn't come over here as human beings to learn all of this. Everything that I just spoke about was deliberately known and recklessly held from us for the purpose of keeping us ignorant, blind, crippled, and crazy, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. Now, when you think, watch it now, hold on. So when you think about that, here's where Pan-Africanism comes in. Our brothers and sisters know the hell that we went through. Why? Because the same people that we are the offshoot of was the same Africans who were kidnapped, maimed, destroyed, and pillaged and brought against their will to America. So they already know who we are. They never lost a love for us. Because of the embrace, Dr. W.D. Du Bois, who was one of the prime premier starters of Pan-Africanism during the 18th century. W.D. Du Bois. Y'all look him up when you get time. That's why I say it's important, y'all, that we know the history of why Pan-Africanism exists, because it ties us, it re-gives us that bow tie to our brothers and sisters in Africa, which in turn gives us that mental, spiritual, economic, and social strength that we normally would not have, because today we have still kings, queens, and princes of that nature who still have a part of Africa today that's not run by the Caucasian or the Chinese and other Asians. But for the most part, and they are actually offering us to come back home now, but some of us simply just don't want to go and live there because America is just as much as ours as anyone else's. We build it up. On our backbone, our bloodshed of our great people. Thank you, Melanie. Thank you. Now, let me say this, and I'm going to put some questions on the floor to everybody. Now, when you say Africans in the diaspora, think about that. Y'all don't hear me, do you? Like you said, Mayat, European come over, they say, I'm from Europe. Asians say, I'm from Asia. We are the only people who don't have an identity. Now, watch this here. And no other race on the planet Earth, I know you know this, and everybody that's listening, listen carefully, y'all. We're the only race on the face of the Earth has been given identity through phases.
Now,
watch it now. I don't know nobody else but us who have been a Negro, colored, black, African-American. What are they going to call us next? This is designed to confuse us so that we won't know the importance. This is designed so that we don't know about Pan-Africanism, y'all. It is to take us away from identity of our African flag, our culture, our religion, our traditions, and all. No one else has been called colored, brown-skinned, you know, black, Negro. Look at that, man. Don't y'all know? How come we can't have a stable identification? Because they don't want us to get too comfortable and relaxed. They're jogging our minds and playing with it because we're insignificant to those people. It's like a toy that a kid has. A kid enjoys his toy.
That is what the masses and powers that be see us as black folks, because we refuse to stand up and do our role in society as reclaiming our right to freedom, justice, and equality. So I said to y'all again, Pan-Africanism is designed to hook up and reconnect you with your black roots. And once again, we are not in racism. We're not racist because we want others to know about our culture, our history, our God, our religion, our language. What better way can you see that I don't hate you for your color or who you may stand for? I want you to identify yourself with Europeanism. So don't get mad at me when I no longer accept your Eurocentric way of thinking and now accepted a Pan-African way of thinking. Why? Because when you identify with your culture, your history, your language, your God, you become whole. When you embrace somebody else's other philosophical ideas, you're lost in the sauce. And that means you're still asleep. And you're going to be grumpy, disgruntled. Talk to me, Mia. What do you think about this?
I totally agree with you on that because, you know, I hear a lot of, well, when I first became a Pan-Africanist, I got a lot of people kind of looking at me kind of crazy, you know, of other races, and they was like, oh, you one of those. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm one of those. Like, I guess so. I mean,
I'm one of those, and
if me embracing my culture upsets you, I don't truly care because I'm not going to stop doing it. If that's what you associated with, that's not it. It's just like, now I have to explain to them. It's just like I said, a descendant of another country, of another race coming here and proclaiming that, you know, their race and saying that this is how I won't intermingle, I won't do this, you know, particular thing because I believe this way. And it's respected in this country for someone else that is not African, that is not an African descendant, automatically embrace them for their culture and be excited for them. But here, when we embrace our culture, it's like, they're racist. They've got to be like, how is that? You know what I mean? So for me, I truly am not going to care about if someone does not like my Pan-Africanist views, comments, or anything like that, because I identify with that within me. It ultimately makes some of the decisions that I've made down the line, you know, because I was able to identify with my culture and with, you know, with the principles that are taught and the things that are taught within, you know, being a Pan-Africanist. So it's, like I said, for the dynamic here in the States, it's embraced for someone else's, for someone else to embrace their culture from their homeland.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, it's a fight.
It's bad.
It's a struggle, you know, because that right there will ultimately change, you know, a lot for us African Americans. But I did want to say something on the other side, too. It's not a racist thing. You know what I mean?
No, it's not.
Aside the European culture, the whoever, you know, we want our story to be told and to be told correctly and empower whoever is sitting in a classroom setting, work setting, whatever setting that is a learning setting, just because, you know, this is stuff that we had in our homeland. If we're learning about your culture all the time, but absolutely have nothing to identify with as African descendants, then it hinders us and it hinders our growth. And that's why they don't teach that in schools or teach that in colleges, certain colleges or with certain degrees, is because of that very thing. It will empower our youth, empower them to the point to where, you know what, forget it. I'm going to excel. I came from here. My parents came from here. I ultimately can do what they did and more at that. So I just want to stop that, you know, and that's why we see that dynamic in the classroom where we, you know, us sitting with other peers of other races, we see them being empowered by all the quote-unquote, their heroes in the classroom setting, you know, and it's not, like I said, it's not the same for us. We can't identify with these people that they're teaching us because they did nothing for us. We look at, you know, how their movement affected the black community. We're like, what is George Washington to me? You know what I mean?
Wow. I can feel, you know what, I felt that triumph spirit of yours by just what you talked about. And you know, every time you speak, you inspire me. Others are listening. They get inspired. They're motivated. And they are saying to themselves, man, how can we become Pan-Africanists? How can we become reunited with ourselves? How can we become Pan-Africanists when we have mixed children? Well, let me tell y'all something. And then Mayor G.T. can also put a words in as well. If your child is mixed with just an ounce of black blood, they too can become a Pan-Africanist. Because it's about Pan, watch out now. Pan-Africanism is about associating, reconnecting Africans in the diaspora, African roots in Africa. So if that child has 1 ounce of blood, I'm not going to ask any one of y'all this, regardless of the mother, if the mother was black or the father was black, it doesn't make a difference because an ounce of black blood means that you are black. So, yes, you can become a Pan-Africanist. So don't let anybody tell you. You heard it from the man himself. Yes, you can become a Pan-Africanist if you wanted to become. Yes. And no, we don't recommend, first of all, that you Europeans try and do that because if you listen carefully. Now, I'm not a racist, but we are talking about black Africans in America reestablishing their culture with the African language, tradition, and custom right there in Africa, y'all. Okay, let me get this straight. Y'all know I'm thank you. Thank you, Beverly, for saying you believe me. I appreciate that. Yes, we are very friendly. We're loving people. But no, we will not allow anybody. You've got your own cultures, your Spanish culture, your English culture, whatever you want to be yours. Allow us to be ours so that we all can be happy. We appreciate it.
Awesome.
Now, having said that, again, like you say, on our show, we're going to give it to you uncut. I ain't going to water it down for you. Because like I said, if you ask the question, be prepared. If you ask me, did a monkey jump over the moon and I saw him jump over again, I'm going to tell you. You see? So if you ask it and I see it, you get ready. I don't care how crazy you think I am after saying that. But if I tell you that, he had to have done it. Got some other people laughing. But that's real, y'all. I mean, God is good. But let me say this right quick, y'all, and then I'm going to give you the floor, man. Now, watch this here. See, Pan-African can be said to have its origin in the struggle of African people against our enslavement and colonization, y'all. Listen, people, this is why I'm taking you back to Africa now. I'm saying little of anything for the most part because Mayotte has done so great of our own to keep you in that American atmosphere, which is what we need. Tell me about it. If you got a problem with me being expressing my African culture, my African accent, my African blood, my association, oh, well, get on, Bobby, because you're not going to change who I am. I'm going to be who I am, whether you like it or not. At the same time, I would love you to embrace me. I would love to interact with you. But at the same time, sir or ma'am, if me identifying with my true culture, with my history, and embracing a flag that tells me about who I am, represents who I am, you're representing your American flag, aren't you? You stand up every day talking about I pledge allegiance. So out here, you're going to get mad at me if I pledge allegiance to mine. Hello, Bob. Are you listening? Really? You that selfish?
Hey.
Y'all don't get it with me now. I told you, I'm getting a little bit rad up. Let me slow down a little bit. Because I get on it. Okay, y'all. So this struggle with Pan-Africanism, listen carefully, y'all. It can be traced back to the resistance on the slave ships. When our people were separated and bonded, enslaved, in chains to the bottom of ships, where many of them died from filth and stink and starvation and smothering one another because the slave ship was so tight-knitted. That in itself started the Pan-African struggle because Pan-African means what? Panning. When you put something in a pan, what do? Everything that's being cooked in a pan comes together, doesn't it? Okay, everybody, so now you got an idea. That's why I waited now to tell you. When you put something in a pan,
Even if you're separated, it's still in the same pan. Okay? So now I'm saying to you that regardless that we talk different tongue, different languages, if you were on top of the boat and I was on the bottom, we're still in the same pan. And we are still Africans in that pan. All right, y'all? So that's what Pan-African means. No matter, I don't care where you are in this world, we're still African roots rooted in Africa. All right? Y'all know I'm passionate about mine. We have not been associated with our African culture, our intellect, our land, and political and social and economic tightness and cohesiveness because we were taught that it's bad, it's wrong. We were taught that Tarzan had to teach us, save us when we got hurt. And y'all know doggone well, can't no white man come over there in the jungle over there and run nothing over, get his behind, run up out of there. Now, come on, man. You see, in other words, I'm just going to keep it. I told y'all, man, I'm going to keep it real. So knowing this, they only visited Africa. Listen, y'all, carefully. Africa, and then you can take the floor, man, y'all. Africa was the land of milk and honey that you hear about in the Bible. When you read in Genesis, when you talk about Cush and the four rivers flowing from it, listen carefully, y'all. The four rivers are symbolic for the four races on the face of the earth. Okay, y'all, everybody? I keep trying to tell you, I'm going to scare a lot of y'all now because some of us have to be truthful and give you the real opportunity and understanding of what Africa is. Africa is the land of paradise that everybody speaks about, even in the Bible. Okay? Now, Brad, you have the floor. What's up with you?
Now, I did want to say something that, you know, along the lines of what we were talking about right before. For me, it was very different, you know, but at the same time, I know that a lot of people can relate. You know, here in the States, we have diverse families. We have a lot of families that are mixed with several different races. And, you know, my family, there's, you know, white people. There is Mexican people, and those are my, you know, my immediate family is mixed. So me coming out as a Pan-Africanist, I had to ultimately teach them that this is not a racial thing where I'm, you know, I'm or whatever because of my beliefs. No, I'm just going to stand on the principles that I believe in. That doesn't mean I don't care about it. That doesn't mean I'm going to treat you any different because I'm a Pan-Africanist.
No.
There is a respect and there is principles that I stand by as a Pan-Africanist that I will not let up on for anyone because it means something. It connected me to who, you know, who my ancestors are, you know, who my father and my mother's, you know, great-great-grandmothers and fathers were, you know, so I had to teach them that because they didn't understand. They was like, I have no idea what's going on. I mean, so I was like, hey, this is who I am. I had to reintroduce myself to them because they were so used to me being in this whole, you know, this whole thing as far as, oh, well, I'm going to teach you about European stuff, da-da-da. That's what reflected on at a point in time. So when I, you know, actually got a hold of the truth and a hold of my culture, it ultimately changed me completely as a person.
Wasn't it?
And they was like, oh, I don't understand. Like, they were looking at me like, what? And I was like, it's okay. I'm not coming to do no crazy stuff. It's just I stand on the people that I stand on. It's not a hate thing. Just like
Let me tell you something, right? I'm gonna, we'll let you finish. I'm getting out. Yeah, you got me so flowed up here. Go ahead on.
So it's teaching those around you, especially if you have a multicultural family. You know, being a Pan-Africanist is gonna be something that you're gonna have to educate them on. And you have to explain, yes, you know, of course you cannot, you know, if you don't have any African, you know, blood in you, no, you can't be a Pan-Africanist. But that doesn't mean that you have to think of it as a hateful act.
Bad or terrible. No.
Your perspective and what, you know, what you represent, you know what I mean, and how you
yes.
are going to respect those principles being of another race.
Amen, amen. Well, now, Ashe, now, may I, let me tell you something. With me, and then you can give me your feedback. When I first okay. actually learned to accept, I'm going to tell you, I was like everybody else when I was first growing up in the street. Man, they're up Africa. Them damn stuff dropping them in trees and all, man. I don't want to make it. Oh, look at them people, the horns and things in their noses and ain't got no money and living in the ghetto, man. I don't want to be no part of this. I'd rather be in America where I can have all the opulent lifestyles, my money in the bank. I can do what I want, pretty cars and diamond rings and lovely women. And now, that was how mixed up and twisted I was. But that was in my 20s, 30s, 35. Then as I begin to roll into that 40, which is when a man actually develops, and that's reality, y'all. Don't let anybody tell you. At 40 years old is when man becomes mature. Okay, y'all men might well get ready and get mad at Michael because Michael going to give it to you like God told me to give it to you, straight up. Okay, it's at 40. It was symbolically told when Cain killed his Abel brother, as we know in the Bible, right? Well, we know Noah was 40. It was 40 days and 40 nights, symbolically speaking, when they disembarked from the ship that they were in, when the so-called world was destroyed by a flood, which, I'm not going to talk about that now because that didn't never happen. God didn't create the world, finish the world, and replenish the world with one family. That means all of us got some kind of, ancestral touch. Come on, crazy people. Be serious. Anyhow, I don't want to talk about it right now. But anyhow. Now, when I first heard that, man, and I was, you know, during my 40, I was studying one day. I said to myself, now, hold up, man. And then I was reading the books on history in my house. I said, the history of the world. Then I said, the history of the world. Okay, history of the world. Okay, that sounds pretty good. And then, you know, having a dictionary, I got the history of the world, and I got to going, well, now, if Africa was the birthplace of everything, you know, that intelligence was there, that's God guiding me. Everybody listening, here I go. Now listen, I'm going to give you the phone, but watch this. So I said to myself, oh, Africa is the birthplace of all human beings. I'm telling to myself, I said, now hold on, if that's the case, Mike, then there have to be more than savages. Because human beings don't come from savages. Human beings procreate other races, other people, other human beings. So as I began to sit back and I see how modern-day society I'm living in, I said, now, where did I get these ideas from to build these skyscrapers over here, to own corporations, to own churches, you know, to own streets, trolley cars and things? I said, now, hold up, man. Now, when I went back to Africa, y'all, now, watch this here. I said, now, hold on. They had to have gotten ideas from somebody. Then I got to think about reading about the Atlantic slave trade. How your people did not come over as slaves, everybody. Let me tell you, now, man, I told y'all. You weren't made a slave until you got here. Okay, everybody? Damn. So what were you if you weren't slaves then? You were kings. You were princes. You owned land. You had culture. You had civilization. You had democracy. You had senates, house of representatives and all. Yes, everybody, yes. Everything came from Africa. That's why they want you to look down and terrible at it, because if you reconnect yourself with your pan-Africanism, with your African self, like the white folk do their own, like the Asians do their own, like the Hispanics do their own, then you no longer rely on anybody but yourself. And Massa loses everything he's amassed through corporation and through racism. Why? Because now you're independently standing on your own two feet, being responsible, and now building your culture, your language, your God, your identity, your land, and education, your psychological, your sociology. You understand, y'all, now? Because without us, they're lost in the sauce. Why? Because we still man their corporations, their companies, their factories. We still man them. Okay? That's why they don't want to give you reparations today. To reparations means to repair what I did wrong to you. I don't want you to know how about pan-Africanism. And now listen to this, y'all. Then I want you to say something here. Listen to this, y'all. Listen carefully at this. Pan-Africanism. You have your intellectuals, you have your cultural geniuses, your political pundits, as they say, but it's all designed, listen carefully, y'all, to reunite the Africans in the diaspora. Y'all didn't hear me. I don't want to be colored no damn more. I don't want to be black no damn more. I don't want to be a nigger no damn more. I want to be African
in the goddamn America. Excuse my expression, y'all. Okay? And the only way I can do that, be African, I can't be a pan-Africanist and talk about I'm damn black. Okay, man, see, keep that shit to somebody else. Y'all excuse me, I'm just going to be real tonight. Okay, y'all, I have to do this at times to awaken you to reality. Harry said, go ahead, old brother. I like when you get upset. Oh, no, man, I'm having fun, though, y'all. Y'all know me. If somebody calls me black, I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to get mad at them because I know that's their tradition, that's their culture, and that's the way they identify as in American language. However, if I say, hey, yo, man, I am an African in America. I'm not saying African America. So, in other words, you can call me an African American. I'm going to straighten up and say, hold up, son, I'm an African in America. The same thing you just called me. You said, I'm an African American, right? Yes, I did. Okay, well, I'm an African in America then. I'm not African American. Don't cut it short. I'm an African in America. You already seen it, so let me help you out. Now, that means I'm conscious now. You're an African in America. What you mean? Man, don't start with pan-Africanism now. Don't start. Don't get on that path. You ain't going to like it. You see? It's all about cultural unity, y'all. It puts us in a sense of historical connection. Africans in America. Now, watch this here. Watch this, y'all. Then Mayette, you can come in. Watch this here. I'm an African in America, and guess what the West Indies are? An African in the West Indies. An Africa in Tahiti. You hear me? That's how it works. You can't be otherwise than that. Because if you allow somebody else to put you African American or West Indian African, look what you're saying. You have a culture that was begun where you say your last name or your last connection is African in America. Oh, so America is your homeland. This is all you ever been. Slavery is all you know. Racism is all you know. European imperialism is all you know. Talk to me, Mayak. What's going on?
I'm saying, like I said, that us identifying ourselves as pan-Africanist, you know, really does connect us in ways that we don't. Some of us, the ones that have just came in and people that have not yet identified as pan-Africanist, sometimes we don't know, we haven't seen the effects of us identifying within the same, how do you explain that? Mm. Within the same thing as far as being pan-Africanist. So if I go to Europe, which I'm definitely not going to Europe. But
you wouldn't be like too much there.
For some type of study or to do anything around the world, if I identify as a pan-Africanist, that's automatically a connection with me and other African descendants in that country.
Come on, now.
Or across the world. So it creates a bond, an unspoken bond between each other, even if we don't know each other. If I say, you know, me and Michael Washington, when he told me he was a pan-Africanist, I was like, I already kind of knew. You didn't have to.
Of course.
But studying the history of our people and really understanding all that, you know, we represent as pan-Africanists, it gives us a connection to one another that is kind of, is really unique, you know, just like any other culture. You know, they're like, I can always go back to my homeland. You know what I mean? Vice versa. We have something to connect with. We have something to bond with.
Yes.
To go upon, you know, when first and out, you know, meeting another pan-Africanist somewhere else on the other side of the world or someone else on the other side of the country. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So
yes.
It creates, like yes. I said, an unspoken bond, but it's very strong, you know, beliefs behind it. And create to open doors for communication. And that's one big thing that, like I said, they try to keep from us because they know what happens. Like we go into a room, even if we don't identify as pan-African, it's just us being African descendants, we get into a room with each other and it's two or three, you know, African descendants, then they leave out the room or something. We all in a circle talking. We don't even know.
Yes.
We have an unspoken bond already, but then identifying ourselves as pan-Africanists just makes that even stronger and creates that bond between us, you know,
on
that level and on that belief, you know, of who we are and what we stand for.
Come on. Yes, yes, man. Okay, and let me get just a little bit further, y'all, with our identifications. Now, right today in Europe, guess what? Blacks are called black Europeans. Now, why would they not be? Because I'm a black in America. They are black in Europe. It's all designed to take us away from our actual culture, y'all. The first part of us is identified with black, but the last attachment is always Europe or America. That takes away Pan-Africanism. I have to disassociate. Ashay. That's why, y'all, I'm trying to tell y'all the history tonight and my teaching. We're going to get deeper and deeper and deeper as we go. I've been doing this for 35 years, my people. Yes. And we can go way, way, way back further with my studies because I've asked God, give me knowledge and wisdom that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge that people that is so great? In Spanish, in Spain. I say, in Spain, what? We got black Spaniards. Listen to that. You black first, but after that, you're the name in the country in which you are residing in. I'm a black European. I'm a black American. I'm a black Spaniard. You understand what I'm getting at? It's designed to make you, I say, it's designed to take you away from Africa. Ain't none of them names been said about Africa nowhere. Because they're trying to keep us westernized and Europeanized. Come on, what'd you say?
We have to understand that even the European descendants that are here in America, they came from everywhere from their own land before they came here. You know what I mean? So they had to give up a piece of themselves, you know, to come here and call themselves Americans in general. So they gave up what they're, you know, what they identify with to a certain extent in order to, you know, do the evil that they did, you know, for this country to be. They want the same thing from us. They want the same thing from other races, to give up their culture, to give up their, you know, history and leave it in that country that they came from. That's why anybody that comes here, they slap Americans on the end of it, because they want them, they want the world to know that they gave up their roots to come here, you know, for whatever reason. You know what I mean? So we have to understand the power of back home and how that affects us here. You know what I mean? We are the only ones that can't get sent back to our country. We can't go back there. You know, we have to willingly go back. You know, every other person that comes here from a different country, you know, that was not born here, can go back at any moment. So that's another thing I wanted to point out, you know what I mean, is they know the importance of culture. They know the importance of that, because that brings strength to the black community. And it ultimately shows us that we, you know, we have that much power. If we identify as Pan-Africans or anything that represents just our culture, they know that if we get a hold of that knowledge and really grasp it and put it within us, and if we at any moment decide to leave and go back to our country, they, you know, they're ultimately screwed at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
Because some of us were already here, yes. Some of us came over willingly, yes. But most of all of our descendants were enslaved when they came here.
No question. Millions.
Wiped up a lot of things so that they wouldn't be able to go back. You know what I mean? So they wouldn't think about going back. That's why they split up the families when we were here. So that, hey, if they don't know about themselves, if they don't understand where they came from and they don't find strength from their homeland, then they'll ultimately stay here. You know what I mean? So you've got to break away from their views and giving up our culture and just being satisfied with learning about their European descendants and their way of living, because their way of living is not working clearly. You know what I mean? And they take all the time from us, and we have to get out of that cycle and say, you know what, you're not going to hide the truth from me. You're not going to hide our culture from us. You know what I mean? We're here.
Yeah.
We ain't going nowhere because we didn't. You didn't force us to do all of this labor. You didn't stole so much from us. You know what I mean? We deserve to be here just as much as y'all, you know, because we did all the work. Y'all was just the front man, you know what
yeah,
I mean, for the country.
Yes.
So,
come on.
You know what I mean? And we absolutely hold a lot of power here. Being African, you know, descendants and everything. They don't, you know, they know.
Wow.
We need to know and we need to understand so that we can turn that, we can flip that and say, hey, you're not finna talk to me like this. You're not finna treat me as if I'm beneath. You're not gonna halfway teach our kids because guess what? We're gonna teach them ourselves. We're not gonna rely on you to give us that opportunity to tell them about our culture and to empower our children. We're just gonna keep excelling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's my whole take and view on that.
Hey, beautiful. I mean, and like I was saying, you know, actually what you said is very great. So to those of you, and to sum it up, those who've been listening and those of you just got on with us, please listen carefully. Our whole precept, our whole understanding, and our whole ideas, listen carefully, y'all. Let me tell all of y'all this. Listen carefully. Put your ear close to the phone. If you're black, as you say, I'm only saying that because you recognize that. If you're African-American, whatever name you get, identify yourself. If you have an African blood in you, listen carefully. You can never be a racist. You are reactionary, okay? A lot of y'all didn't know that. I know you didn't, so don't try to pretend you did. You can never be a racist because racism started against you to put you beneath those who thought they were better than you. Hello, y'all. We didn't learn to think we were. Oh, shit, come on now. Look, I told y'all we're going to get deeper and deeper and deeper as we go, y'all, because we've been feeding, we've been hungry, we've been fed, we want to eat more, and that's what we're doing tonight from this day forward. You can only be a reactionary when somebody calls you out of your name, somebody use the N-word. Naturally, you get filibustered, you want to flip out. Why? Because you know that name is associated with something that's foul, dirty, murky, beneath me, animalistic. Your personality is telling you, hey, man, I'm better than a hen. That's why we flare up. Come on now. That's why it hurts us to the core when we hear that, even when we hear somebody with another race saying it down the street. So I'm trying to tell y'all that we in the Western Hemisphere, our brothers and sisters, listen carefully, y'all. These Europeans, Spaniards, Indians and all, yes, Indians too, when they enslaved us and in bondage us here in America, it was not designed for us to come off and under the yoke of oppression. It wasn't designed for us to come out of the yoke of manipulation. It was designed to keep you and me subjected to cruel and unusual punishment, slavery, suffering, and death. If you didn't use those six words, listen carefully, you would identify the whole European concept of racism. You need no more.
Okay.
European imperialism, European, watch it now, listen, y'all. European imperialism, what does that mean? That means an invading country coming into your homeland and controlling your economics. You're subjected to their rule, their punishment, their desire, their whim. The transatlantic slave trade, millions of us perished before we got here, jumping overboard, being thrown overboard, being smothered, dying, being shot, hung. Think about that, y'all. For the sake of greed, lust, and personal gain. So what in the hell am I going to be ashamed of reuniting, refusing now to be Eurocentrized, but now accepting my African culture, recognizing who I am and sharing with y'all today as we're doing? That makes you mad at me, really? Man,
I'm sure glad I don't have to rely on you to for my food or my drink and my anything else anymore, because I would be starved to death. Because sucker, you gonna keep doing yours, I'm gonna do mine.
I say.
I mean, what's on your mind then?
My thing is that, you know, people fear what they don't understand. That's why I try to, when the opportunity is presented or the uneasy look that I get about, oh, you're one of them, or, oh, you Pan-Africanist, you know, are you Pan-Africanist?
Huh.
So do you believe in this? You know, and I get asked the question.
Sure, you're going to get it.
In my regular clothes, and I don't have, you know, my flag on me, you know, all these things, it's within me, it's instilled in me, and they kind of get the essence of, oh, well, she's a little different, you know, or she thinks this way, you know what I mean? Just automatically now, the Pan-Africanist for a little bit. So it's those opportunities that I take, it doesn't matter who it is. And I educate them first so that now after that, you have the choice to either respect me for my views or you can continue to, you know, be in fear or feel like you're intimidated by me because of what I believe. But I truly believe that we cannot be racist. We can't. We didn't.
You can't be.
Come up with the concept, you know, we were minding our own business before y'all came over here and bothered us.
I did you not hear me? How you going to be racist? Damn it, I didn't come and steal you from your homeland. I didn't beat you down, take your food from you. How can I be racist?
I didn't bother you. I was doing my own thing. I was, you know, out. My families were out in the field taking care of themselves, doing
come
all this.
On.
They weren't worried about what the Europeans were doing around them. Heck, they were going through all of wars and fighting each other, and we was just minding our business until they came in, trying to put their two cents in, and they can't thrive more than we can, and they all, in my personal opinion, they all came together and was like, we fighting each other, hold up. They over here doing their own thing, prospering, you know, creating wealth. Oh, no, we all got to come together and shut this down, because that's the common enemy. We're done fighting each other. We've been doing this for I don't know how
come
long.
On.
They
scored
and came over and messed with us. You know what I mean? So I always try to tell people, you know, what I believe in and who I am when the question is asked or when I get that uneasy look from, you know, the other races of people, and even our own people ask the question, because, you know, they don't understand what's going on. You know what I mean? They're taught from the European point of view that embracing your culture is a sin, or it's demonic, and it's not at all. It's really rich in history, and there's so many different Pan-Africanists that taught us principles that sometimes we knowingly or unknowingly follow, you know, as we embark on the journey of learning our culture as a whole.
Yes.
You know, some people don't identify with Pan-Africanism right off the bat because they're still learning what it is and who
sure
actually
they are. I'm going to just jump right into it.
Mm-hmm.
You and I didn't jump right into it. I mean, it's just a learning process.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And go ahead.
I was just saying, you know, it's an education portion too. Yeah. You know, we have to educate the people around us what it is, so that they don't be like, oh, well, that's demonic. That's not something that you shouldn't bother with. Oh no, you know what I mean? Especially within our community. It seems to be something that we have to explain to each other about what it actually means. And they'll start to understand after you break it down to them.
Yes. Well, see, you're absolutely, Mayotte, you're absolutely, we got about 15 minutes here. You're absolutely profoundly on point, Mayotte. And I want to let everybody know, those of you who are online, and you want to listen, get a little bit of information on more about Pan-Africanism and actually the works of art here in the United States, I want y'all, if y'all ready, let me know, and we get ready. I'm going to give you about another maybe 10 seconds, and then I'm going to name off one of the major organizations that has a black connection to it that will give you a better understanding of the Pan-Africanism as expressed here in the United States. And this, in turn, will give you a tie-in with Pan-Africanism from the African side. So you're going to get the Pan-Africanism from the African side itself, and you're going to get it from the American version itself. And some of you say, well, man, how y'all going to be a Pan-Africanist in America, and then y'all got one in Africa? Well, my brothers and sisters, I just told y'all that Pan-Africanism is universal, not just one state, one country, one city. It is reuniting the black y'all. We are reunited wherever we are, black culture, black understanding, black strength, black unity, black education, black love, no matter where we are. Okay, everybody? So now one of the major organizations, listen carefully, y'all go look it up. I'm trying to give y'all the education so y'all can go get a better feel of where basically all of it started from. An organization, that is. Okay, and that's called the Council on African Affairs. Bam. Started here in the United States. Okay? Now, that's going to open clearly why Africanism, black Africanism is so important, why Pan-Africanism is important, why we did this, why they did that, why imperialism, blah, 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 slavery, blah, 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 blah. Okay, everybody? That is your starting point, okay? I done just opened your eyes. Oh, man, it's almost like you've known now all your lives the history of it. Ashe. And why it was founded. So, again, that's the Council on African. Listen carefully, y'all. A group of American people studied Africa and the affairs and its connections with America. And it was then, during their summit, that they agreed upon recommendations for how better to release ourselves from this mold of discrimination, racism, slavery, imperialism, colonialism, on and on and on and on and on, all the negative terms that were associated with a human being. Now, anybody would be that damn low-life and down, stinky, and dirty to do other human beings like this here? There's got to be a mental illness, y'all. I mean, let's keep it real now. If you weren't mentally ill, you wouldn't be. Now. I'm not doing this to people. So it's got to be a mental illness. It has to be. There is a lack of self-respect and self-esteem in that person to do another person that way. All for the sake of greed, lust, and personal gain.
And that's, I wanted to interject and say something. And that should tell you, that should tell you pretty much where someone stands when they ultimately know what Pan-Africanism is, and they still ultimately choose to discriminate against you because you identify as a Pan-Africanist.
Well, see, look at what you just said, man. I mean, we both know. I'm discriminating against you now because you have awakened, and I can no longer control you. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You are now independent. You are now self-autonomy, self-aware. Self-preservation is the first law of nature. I mean, I didn't understand this, but you and I weren't supposed to know this. That's why they worked and maneuvered and put into place mechanisms to keep us from identifying ourselves. But we got lucky because, well, I'm not going to say lucky, because it was designed and destined for us to get to where we are. That's why you would have a fight with your own brothers and sisters. Praying up, because, man, y'all racist. Man, I've got weird fears that's white. I don't want to do it. See, look at it. Because the media feed that frenzy to them. Yeah, racist pan out. Oh, they are? Yeah. Well, I don't want to. I got white in my family. I ain't going to. Come on, man. That's not what that means.
Mm-hmm.
There are always going to be two sides to every coin. I don't care if there were heads on both sides or tails on both sides. It still has two sides to it. So that means there's two sides to every story. Okay, everybody? So now our main focus then, Ashe, our main, now listen carefully, y'all. Okay, I'm going to say it again, Randy. It is Council on African Affairs. Now,
Watch this here. I gave you that pleasure, brother, okay, because let me tell you something. I'm a staunch disciplinarian. And when I told you I was going to give you 10 seconds, this is not anything mad at you. Now, you should know me. If I cut you off, that's what I meant. You were going to give that, get that from somebody else. But because you didn't know that, from here on out, I expect you to understand, if I say you got 10 seconds, brother, man, you might have to get it from somebody else. Now, as you know, Michael, I don't hate you, because I wouldn't be taking my time in showing you and telling you to go blah, 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 if I didn't like you, if I didn't want you to establish your independence.
I say.
We got to be responsible. I told y'all we got to get about it. Lackadaisical say, now, I'm not attacking you, brother, now. Now I'm just talking about generally speaking. Let me make that point clear. We have to get out of that lackadaisical state and thinking that we cannot adapt or embrace when we hear something the first time. I know your problem, first of all, and it is a problem, because we've been so conditioned, even myself, conditioned into believing, oh, that doesn't matter. I don't need to think about this. To heck with that. I'm just going to continue to motivate and drive the way I'm going. No. When the process of learning, igniting that fire in you, that's why it's essential now that it become important to you. Because, boom, by the twinkle of an eye, it will slip right past you and you never know it hit you.
Ashe.
So I want everybody to know that us here in Africa, y'all didn't hear me, did you? I said us here in Africa. In other words, I'm not gone. Africa's not gone because it's still in me. Y'all, come on, man. We're just an extension of Africa. Now, don't start with me now. I'm trying not to go there. Shit. That's why they brought it. Evidently, they wanted me to embrace the fundamental principles and mainstream of what America had to offer. You would have never brought me here to create it for you. It's not your dummy. It's mine because I built it up. Hello, Michael. Shit.
I say.
Come on now. That's why you don't want to give me reparations or nothing, because you're animalistic and you're one-sided and your mindset is designed to think that you are greater and I'm less than you.
Mm-hmm.
I see. You see, so now, listen to this. Now, watch this here, y'all. Let me give you one more because we got to get ready to get out of here before it closes out. Now, I want y'all to take your pencil and write down, and this goes for you too, Randy. If you don't get it, I'm not going to say it again for you. So you might as well get ready. He said, yeah. He said, I'm ready, man. He said, you're making sense, man. He said, I can't get mad at you because you're right. Thank you, brother. Now, you and I can get along, man. As you see, I wasn't trying to hurt you, belittle you, or make you look bad. You important to me that you get everything I give you because the second time I may have fell dead or something. You understand what I'm getting at? Come on now.
I'll share.
Now, yeah, I want everybody, and because I want to be fair to you, I'm going to give you 10 seconds as I continue to talk to prepare yourself with your pen and paper. Because in today's society, y'all, we have not a moment to spare, okay? We have not a moment to spare. Ashe means you are speaking truth. I hear you, brother, and that's for those of you who don't know. Ashe. Ashe means, brother, you're perfect, you're divine, you're making it happen, it makes sense to me. Hey, man, I heard that. If you want to use an English term, I heard that, brother, sister. That's what that means. That's your African tongue that we're speaking, y'all. The hell with American all the damn time. Let's use our own language, too, as a code, as a relaxation, as a feeling that we all can embrace. Now, I want y'all to write down African philosophy, because it's different than an American philosophy. Now you're getting ready to know what Pan-African stands for further. So you got a Council on African Affairs. Now you got African philosophy. Okay? This covers Africans in America, the philosophy of our ancestors, what we came over here with, that has evaded us so long now that we don't know the difference between right or wrong, orange or gray. One last one, y'all, because we got about 5 minutes getting ready to cut me off. One more. Now, listen. One more. Y'all listen to this. Y'all need, please, y'all, make this become a part of your vocabulary like you like with learning English. This is your Afrocentric mentality now. Okay? So now, I want all of you to write down what I just said, Afrocentric understanding. So no longer are you going to think Eurocentric, because that's not you. That's not your nature. You're not white. No disrespect to white folks. I got beautiful friends and families. Man, it's like my family is mixed. But at the same time, I'm not going to recognize their culture, not my own. Come on, y'all, really?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. Come on now. So I'm recognizing their Eurocentric nature. Now I want you to recognize my Afrocentric nature. Now I want y'all to go look up that word. Now if that don't profoundly open your eyes and give you a clear state of Pan-Africanism, there's no giving it to you. I am a teacher. I'm a healer. Ashe. I am a teacher, a healer. And I, in turn, a teacher cannot be a teacher if they're not a good listener to. So whatever you tell me, I imbibe and drink like a 7-Up milkshake or whatever, because I know that you can tell me something. But believe you me, if I can tell you something, you're not going to convince me that what I said was wrong when I know it's right.
Mm-hmm.
Shay, that's important to me. And I want you to feel the same way. And the only way you can feel the same way is you arm yourself with ammunition of knowledge, wisdom, and overstanding. We're going to deal with the overstanding a little later on. Right now, we're not going to pillage on that too much right now. But y'all don't hear me. The words that I just gave y'all to study gave you an overstanding now, because if you, before this time, you were under the knowledge that I gave you. There's no question you were, but no longer you are. You're over now because why? You've been exposed to that new philosophy, religion, and a perspective that you didn't have before. And I know your eyes are more open. Why? Because you're learning more that wasn't there. And guess what? Like you, man, I feel so inspired. I'm ready to just run a marathon. I start learning knowledge like that. You hear me? I mean, I was, woo! Ashay, oh, my God. But yeah, we got about 2.5 minutes, so you can, if you want to close out with whatever you want to say, then I'll come back and let everybody know. We appreciate y'all. I'll say my parting shots until after her. Go ahead, sister. You got the floor. Ashay,
I did want to say, you know, some of our organizations, especially ours, Fred Hampton Gun Club, we do, you know, teach knowledge of self. So that right there, that centric point of view is something that, you know, just because we're a gun club doesn't mean we can't teach, you know, our roots, because that's very important,
Know,
what you're thinking and what you're standing up for, being in an organization like mine and others that represent the RBG as we know it. We have to teach what came behind that, what was before that, and why we represent those colors, the red, black, and green, on the flags and on uniforms and all those things. So we make it essential to teach not only youth, but also adults about what it is to be an Africanist, what it is to stand up for our culture and why it's important. So if, you know, like I said once before on the other shows, if you guys are interested in joining the Fred Hampton Gun Club, wherever you are, whether it be Oklahoma, Las Vegas, Nevada, California, Florida, anywhere, you know, you guys can contact me or Michael Washington or anybody associated on my page or associated with the Fred Hampton Gun Club. My name is Mayat Yeboah. It's spelled M-A-A-T. Last name is spelled Y-E-B-O-A-H. And or you can message me on Fred Hampton Gun Club, Oklahoma chapter, Oklahoma City chapter, and get in contact with me, because that's, if you enjoy and you see light in teaching our culture, that's another part of us that embrace.
Oh my God, man, we've
people are so enthused about us, man. They're telling that they have their children and things listening and teaching them about their past. You know what? One lady told me the other day, I forgot to tell y'all. She said, man, thank y'all because y'all helping me be a teacher. I've been wanting to say these things, but I wasn't educated enough. They tell me out they love our show. You hear me? They love what we're giving them, people. And they love that we're frank up front and won't give them half sugar down water. Come on, man. Come on now.
We're living in the day and time now that, like said earlier, we don't have time to spare. We don't have time to just sit and squander our time away because things are happening to our people and us, possibly, that could possibly happen to us. Things are happening right now that affect the community directly, and if we don't know who we are, we really have that inner strength that we need to fight the psychological battles that they put out here that, you know, would normally to the individual that doesn't have knowledge of self would just be like, oh, well, that just happened. You know, I think we don't want to be on the other side where we can't defend ourselves psychologically or, and you know, on the education side, political side, at any point of view that you identify with, that you see all the time, you know, we want that to be the knowledge of self and knowledge of our culture to be number one, first of all.
So come on, man.
Stay on top of this. We have to teach our children. I currently don't have any children, but any child that comes around me that has an ounce of African blood in you, you're going to know what Pan-Africanism is.
Come on.
Why I wear this and why I push for this, you know, because children are curious, you know what I mean, and are always constantly learning and always constantly growing. So just anyone in general, we have to start teaching these things and implementing our culture into our life and into our everyday lives so that we can knowingly and unknowingly push us progressively within our communities, the Pan-Africanist views, Pan-African thinking, and the Afrocentric views and point of views that we need and we're starving for, and some of us don't even know it.
Come on, I'm listening. Go ahead on. You got me going.
So, like I said, it's essential for us to stay on top of that and to not only, you know, us learning, and I figured this out, us learning our culture, we probably won't know everything in this lifetime about
it. Oh, you're not.
The little things, you know, and the stuff that we dig for and we push for, you know, it really does bring to light who is really for us and who is really against us. And honestly, we can only support us. We can only empower us. We can only put progressively in the right direction for us. So that's why investing in our own communities, you know, teaching our children, teaching the youth, being mentors, being aware of self, you know what I mean, in any situation, in any moment, you know, is essential and in growing our community and keeping us stronger and getting us to a point to where they know that they can't try us like that because we're just that strong and we know where we come from, you know what I mean? And connecting with our brothers and sisters back home, you know, really does put a level of protection around us. So you can't really mess with us because guess what? You know, we connected back home. Just because you put us here and put American on the end of our names or in American on the end of identifying.
Come on,
our stuff and go back home at any moment because they're accepting us. They want us there because we are representing not only just us here in America, we're representing everyone. We're not excluding.
We're not discriminating against anybody. Let us alone and we'll leave you alone. Bottom line. Bottom line, I'm not going to tell you you don't have a right to take your child down to the grocery store. Even if you have to cross on my side of the street to get there, I'm going to be compassionate enough to know, hey, that's the quickest way. They may be safer. We are compassionate people, y'all. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
We are loving. That's why we allow those Europeans to come in into our land so freely. We taught them. They bowed down at our feet. We sent them to our universities. They robbed our libraries of great knowledge and wisdom. You understand me, y'all? So it shows you that we opened them with open arms. We fed them, gave them food, clothing, diamonds, historical artifacts and things. People, but we were betrayed so desperately. This is what we must know about y'all. And our Pan-African movement is designed, watch this here, to let these people here, these black bourgeoisies who are fighting on the side of our enemy know. I'd be in office no damn more if you're going to keep acting like this.
Mm-hmm.
Right now they can get away with it because we don't have any unity in our community. Yet our vote counts. It should not count though if we're not going to unify and do it the way we're supposed to be. Those people need to know, man, and you need to sit down with us. You need to have some town hall meetings with us. And if y'all, we got 1 minute, y'all. Let me cut this off right there and we'll spell us later. Thank y'all very much for allowing into your homes. Thank you for allowing People Power Radio to tell you our side of the story, and you're telling ours, yours. This is all what we're all about, y'all. This is y'all's stations and not ours. Again, y'all, if y'all want to have a story that you feel that we need to know about, you can always contact me at Erico 405-882-6478 or Erico 405-246-9089. And if you can't reach me, as me and I always say, you can contact her at 905-0302. Tell her that you might have a story that you want to get on the air. And, of course, like I say, we live down here together. We always in constant contact on some form of Internet, so on social media. So tell her. I mean, if you call me and you don't reach me, her number again is Erico 405-905-0302. And, again, she can help you get on. With that, y'all got about 30 seconds. Be safe and be blessed. And know that God loves you and I love you. Mayette loves you. And we just want you to have peace, harmony, serenity, power to everybody. Good night, everybody, and God bless all y'all. Good speed.
True.
You might have to call me back. I was getting ready to go out. Cut me off.
Okay.